Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. It's a Colts game day. I'm going to give you five reasons the Colts are going to win this game tonight over the New York Jets, who are not nearly as hapless as we might have believed before they beat the Cincinnati Bengals last weekend with the red-hot arm of Mike White. What? This is Breakfast with Kent for Thursday, November 4th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at mybookie.ag. You want to lay some shekels on the game tonight? You sign up at mybookie.ag and use the promo code Kent Sterling. All right, Colts, Jets tonight, 8:20. Not a sexy matchup nationally. The Jets, not very good, although they've beaten the Titans and the Bengals, like we said. The Colts, not very good. They're 3-5 with some losses. But I'm going to give you five reasons why the Colts are going to emerge victorious in this game tonight. You ready? Number one, the most important differential on the field is the quarterback differential, and Carson Wentz is the superior quarterback. All right, despite Mike White throwing for four bills last week in New York against the Cincinnati Bengals and leading them to that improbable win, Carson Wentz is a better quarterback, and I'll tell you why in reason number two. Number two, the turnover differential. The Colts are +8 for the season. The Jets are -10. You know why? Because Mike White, in 77 attempts, has thrown four picks. That's more than one interception per 20 passing attempts. That's going to get you beat. Carson Wentz has thrown three picks in 270 attempts. And before we crap all over Carson Wentz, all right, for what he did last week in the loss to the Titans, two picks, late picks, the one was a pick six, but thank God it was a pick six, because if he had taken the safety, that game ends. There's no way that the Colts can tie that game or take the lead in that game. They would have lost that game without it being a pick six. If the Titan had just caught the ball and dropped to his knees, Titans win that game, but he brought it into the end zone and the Colts were able to answer, score the touchdown anyway. Then the interception in overtime, and I'm not excusing either of them. They were bad throws, bad decisions. Carson Wentz will do that. However, prior to that odd pick six, Carson Wentz set the all-time Colts franchise record for number of pass attempts without an interception. 212 or something like that. That's a lot. Do you know how many quarterbacks that 212, nobody, Peyton Manning never got to 212 pass attempts without an interception. Jeff George didn't. Johnny Unitas didn't. Andrew Luck didn't. Carson Wentz did. Now, that's not going to win you a Super Bowl, obviously. The Colts right now are 3-5, despite the fact that he went for over 200 passing attempts without an interception. But it still bears mention. There's some positive stuff happening with Carson Wentz. The running game. Jonathan Taylor has run the ball 121 times for 649 yards. That's a 5.5 yards per carry average, and he has gotten into the end zone six times. The Jets have run the ball a total of 188 times for 529 yards. That's a per carry average of 3.6. They have scored five rushing touchdowns as a team. Jonathan Taylor on his own is far more productive and far more efficient than is the Jets' running game. All right, this one, this is pretty compelling. The Jets on the road are 0-4, and they have lost by a combined 79 points. They have been outscored 126-47 by their opponents on the road. That is almost 20 points a game. Colts, they are favored by 10.5 tonight. I think they cover that number easily. This isn't according to Ivan or according to the Orb of Wisdom. This is me. I think that they win this game somewhere in the neighborhood of 31-7. I don't think the Jets can stop him. And I don't think that the Jets are going to score a bunch of points. I think they're going to give the ball to the Colts, whose defense is built to take it away. And regardless of what you think about the 3-5 Indianapolis Colts, from a turnover perspective, they have been really good this year. It seems to me that the Colts, like the big brains at the Colts complex, they got together and said, let's reverse engineer winning. What are the components to a championship winning team? Turnover differential is a big one. Let's reverse engineer that, create the traits of a champion, believing that those traits combined here will launch us into hanging banners. I think that's what they did. That isn't the way football's played. Football isn't played on a spreadsheet. This isn't Excel. This is NFL. And if you're going to play in the NFL, you got to have guys play winning football. And what the Colts have got are an aggregation of statistics that would lead you to believe that they should win, however, aren't. It's kind of interesting. The Jets, they got some good talent on the defensive side of the ball. You got guys like Sheldon Rankins, Quinnen Williams, Shaq Larson. You got C.J. Mosley. Those are four pretty good guys. But the Colts, they got DeForest Buckner. They've got Grover Stewart coming off, I think, what was his best game as a Colt. And that's saying something. You've got Darius Leonard. You've got Kenny Moore. I think that the top four defensive players for the Colts are better than the top four defensive players for the Jets. Despite the fact that the Colts are without their starting safeties, I think that the Colts are going to be able to get over defensively on the Jets in a way that the Jets are not going to be able to get over defensively on the Colts. Tonight, the broadcasts, I think, are going to be interesting. These national broadcasts have additional options. All right, so you're not locked into Fox 59 at 8:20 listening to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You don't have to listen to that. You can listen to that. You can watch that if you choose. And I will for part of the game. But I'm also going to watch the Amazon Prime feed, especially the Scout feed with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. There's also another more traditional broadcast feed with Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer. And I think that's going to be kind of interesting. Traditional broadcasts kind of wear me out on television. I don't think CBS and Fox, and this isn't the case with like Nance and Romo or Buck and Aikman, but as you get down the list of broadcasters, I don't think they're very well managed. I don't think people really take care and nurture those products to the point that they should in order to get a great broadcast product for the people who are watching. So I like these offshoot things. I like the Manning brothers. I like Peyton and Eli doing NFL games. I think they're terrific at it. Really, really good. It's really fun to watch them and listen to them. And granted, they need guests to fill the thing up. We don't just want to like listen to Peyton and Eli talk football, although that is a lot of fun. We want something a little bit more. I think that that is the direction that broadcast sports is headed, the play-by-play end of broadcast sports. We're happy to watch the game, but we want to be entertained a little bit too. The traditional broadcast, I think, is going bye-bye, and we'll see that soon. Although on radio, obviously, without the component of video, to be able to watch, you know, kind of the game while listening to this offshoot, more entertaining brand of description, radio is going to stay where radio's at. The Pacers, home win last night. Anyway, you want to? I think I gave you a prediction. 31-7. I think the Colts win this one. I don't think it's very dramatic. Say what you will about Frank Reich. And we've already said what we will about Carson Wentz. But say what you will about Frank Reich. Frank Reich beats the teams that the Colts are supposed to beat. If the Colts have better talent than their opponent, the Colts win that game. If it's even up, or if the talent gap favors the opponent, things don't go too well, especially in the fourth quarter. All right, Pacers win 111-98 last night. Entertaining game. Fun to see the Pacers close it out. You know, over the course of multiple seasons, what we've seen from the Pacers is when they get off to a good start, the lead erodes, and all of a sudden, the team that we have reason to suspect is better, they take a lead, and they go on to win the game. And I thought that that was a likely scenario last night. That wasn't the case. Pacers win the fourth quarter last night. That was good. Chris Duarte, if you watched him in the first quarter, you thought, my God, this guy's an all-star. not just the Rookie of the Year, but an All-Star. He had 8 points, including a quarter-ending three-pointer. That was nice, but he ended up with 10 points, only scored two in the last three quarters. Myles Turner was really good last night, 25 and 13. He was 7 of 10 from beyond the arc. If you don't guard Myles Turner in the corner, he is going to knock down threes, and he did last night. They held the Knicks to 20% from beyond the arc, or right around 20%. The Pacers were 16 of 41 from beyond the arc. That's 39%. Despite Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Holiday, and Caris LeVert combining for 1 3-point bucket on 16 attempts. That's how good everybody else was. How about Goga Bitadze last night? 8 points. Nice. We like to see Goga do well. Goga, one of my favorite guys on the Pacers. They're in Portland tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, their first West Coast trip of the season. TJ Warren, we found out he's no longer in a walking boot. And Rick Carlisle, in his post-game comments last night, said that it's a matter of weeks, not days, not months, weeks, until TJ Warren's back. We're counting the days like it's going to make a whole big difference. I think Chris Duarte is playing really good basketball. Can he score it like TJ Warren? I don't think so. And I don't think he ever will. But I think he is really, really good. I think Chris Duarte, as far as his feel for the game, is kind of a guy, and his enthusiasm for the game, I think sort of trumps TJ Warren. I don't know what they're going to do with the starting lineup as TJ Warren comes back from his injury. I think they're going to ease him in slowly, and I think part of that will be because of Chris Duarte's play. Indiana, just 5 days away. The Hoosiers, looking forward to playing some basketball under Mike Woodson. This is a Bob Knight fan's dream, right? The interruption of the Bob Knight era, where he was fired and they hired Mike Davis, who would not have been Bob Knight's choice as a head coach. Hell, he wouldn't even have been Mike Davis's choice as a head coach for the Hoosiers. You know what? Now it kind of comes back. We did have that glorious 7-game stretch back in 2008 where Dan Dockich ran the program and held guys accountable, and it was a lot of fun. Now we get that back. We get Mike Woodson back as the head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, and we'll see how this goes. Indiana, you look at the 13 guys they've got, right? The 13 guys on scholarship, who can't play? We've seen all of these guys play, maybe with the exception of Anthony Leal. Really didn't get to see him a bunch last year, but the other guys, obviously not including the transfers, but we have every reason to believe that the transfers coming to Bloomington are going to be really good. Michael Durr among them, right? Parker Stewart, who was at Indiana last year, but didn't get a chance to play. His father passed away tragically, and he took some time to kind of let the silt settle and come back to basketball. Xavier Johnson came in from Pitt. He's a guy who can score buckets and play defense. You've got Miller Kopp from Northwestern, who's a defense stretcher, can go bombs away from deep. One of the things that Indiana was missing last year. And then you've got guys like Rob Phinisee and Race Thompson and obviously Trace Jackson Davis, who is the linchpin to this whole thing. He is the dynamic entity, the first-round All-American. The other guys, not a supporting cast, but not as talented as Trace Jackson Davis. Christian Lander, you've got Jordan Geronimo, who people say has really taken a step up in class during this offseason. Logan Duncan, Tamar Bates, the two freshmen coming in, and Tamar Bates is going to play. He's going to play and he's going to contribute. We'll see what happens with Logan Duncan. It might take a year for him to kind of get his sea legs in college basketball. We'll see. But this is going to be a fun game to watch. A fun team to watch. They get going 5 days from tonight against Eastern Michigan. Can't wait. Then they've got Northern Illinois, a game where we're going to have to pay for Big Ten Plus for a month in order to watch it. Drives me nuts. How about Henry Ruggs going 156 miles an hour right before he hit the Toyota RAV4 and killed the lady and her dog early Tuesday morning right, at 3:40 in the morning. What are you doing out at 3:40 in the morning driving 156 miles an hour? Can you be dumber? Can you be more indifferent to human life than that? I don't think so. But the computer in his Corvette registered 156 seconds before he hit the RAV4. It slowed to 127 before impact. Just awful. Birthdays. Let's celebrate some birthdays. Susan Smith, Todd Sellers, the great Ronnie Ramos celebrating a birthday. Alex Sands, Jim Allen, Joe Favorito, Jeffrey Lee, and Chris Shuloff. Happy birthday. If today's your birthday, you celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you celebrate somebody else. That's best done with an honest and specific compliment. Hit subscribe, punch like, ring the bell. Let's go. We'll talk about this game, Colts Jets, tonight. Immediately before the game, we'll do it about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and then we'll do a post game too. We're busy. We do stuff.